on a meeting, call the meeting back to order so we can move on, given that we're a bit behind the curve here. We've got our next item, number four, Cabazon Sport Fishing Regulations. This is a briefing, a rule hearing, and a decision all in one. And Craig Burley is here to help walk us through this decision. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director Anderson, Deputy Director Storr. For the record, my name is Craig Burley. And today what I'd like to do is provide some information regarding the biology and previous actions taken relative to Cabazon, the process and schedule that we've used to this point. I'd like to talk about management options that you'll be discussing today, give you a summary of the comments that we received in terms of themes that we heard. There'll be a time for then commission questions and discussion. We'll have a public hearing and then a commission action. So for Cabazon, their distribution is from British Columbia to Southern California. They inhabit rocky areas of Puget Sound. They attain a length of around 30 inches and weigh as much as 25 pounds. Their maximum age is somewhere around 13 plus years. On this slide, I have two figures. The figure on the left shows information that was provided to the commission in August of 2011. This is a figure that shows recreational catch per unit effort information in Puget Sound. The sources are Department of Fish and Wildlife data. And what this shows is the trend line of catch per unit effort for the grouping of sculpins from the 80s through 2010, and then starting in 2003, we were able to break out by species, and we show the trend in catch per unit effort for Cabazon. The figure on the right is information from the reef organization, and this information was analyzed by agency staff, Dr. Teresa Tso and Dr. Dave Lowry. And this shows the trend in sound-wide Cabazon information. This is occurrence standardized to fish per hour of bottom time. And this shows since 2000 through 2011. And this does exclude Edmonds Underwater Park. We used standardized index sites to try to give a Puget Sound-wide trend. And what we conclude from this information is that Cabazon are at low but stable numbers in Puget Sound. Prior to where we are today, we've taken some management actions for Cabazon and Puget Sound. We've closed commercial bottom fishing in all of Puget Sound. We've implemented 120-foot depth restriction for our recreational bottom fish fisheries. We've last March you implemented or adopted a minimum size of 18 inches for Cabazon and a one fish daily limit. So Cabazon regulations were discussed during the recent sport fishing rule proposal process. We started in September through January with public comments on our sport rule proposals. Cabazon minimum size limit was one of those proposals in that package. Commission was briefed in January. We conducted a public hearing in February, and in March, the commission took action on this topic. And at that March time period, the commission, as you recall, took action to adopt a minimum size limit of 18 inches, as well as a one fish daily limit, and asked the department to initiate additional rulemaking and public comment with respect to the Cabazon season length. And specifically, the department solicited public comment for the current proposal that's before you today, which is implementing a reduced season of May 1 through June 15 for Marine Areas 4 through 11 and 13. And so during that April to May time period, comments were taken, and we're here today for commission action. So the rule proposal that was submitted again was to reduce the season in Marine Areas 4 through 11 and 13 to May 1 through June 15. The other option would be maintaining the status quo regulation, which is in Marine Area 4, currently a year-round season for Cabazon, and in Marine Areas 5 through 11 and 13, the season is May 1 through November 30. So during that April 15 to May 31 time period, we received over 200 comments through our online comment process. And the commission was sent a link to those online comments on Monday, June 3rd. What we saw was about 10% of the comments that were received were in support of this reduced season. Some themes that we saw from those comments were that this would improve the stock status of long-lived bottom fish, it would create future sustainable fisheries, and that it would also reduce encounters with rockfish. About 90% of the comments that we received were in opposition to this rule change, and they cited loss of opportunity without justification, and that there was a need for more scientific data to back up this proposal. We also did receive some comments that indicated that they were not in support of the one fish daily limit that was adopted by the commission at the March meeting. Since the comment period closed on May 31, the commission has also been receiving comments via email, and I believe as of 8 o'clock this morning, there were just under 400 comments that were received that were also in opposition to this proposal. So with that, I would take any questions that you might have.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very concise. Thank you. Commissioner Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Did you have a question?
Yeah. What's the extent of the fishery now on it? How many are caught? And I guess I would not maybe necessarily actual number of fish caught, but the proportion of the population is actually harvested by recreational fishers.
Thank you, Commissioner Perry. The department does not have an abundance estimate for Cabazon and Puget Sound, but we rather use trend indicators. And for example, here on the left, you see the recreational catch per unit effort. This is measurement of fish per angler trip. And what we see here is for Cabazon, somewhere around 0.02 fish caught per angler trip. So these numbers are low as compared to other fisheries that we have in the Sound.
Do you have any idea at all what the impact of, you don't know the population, so I was just going to ask what the impact of that relatively low catch would be on the population? But you don't know what the population is, so you really can't answer that, I guess.
Commissioner Perry, what we do look at to give us an indication of that is we look at the trend line in catch per unit effort through time. And what we see here is a line that, while there's some variability, we see a somewhat flat trend, which you could draw the conclusion that the current fishery is not having a measurable effect on the Cabazon population.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Commissioner Jennings?
Sure. With Lingcod, we have, for most of Puget Sound, a six-week season. Why is it just 6 weeks?
Commissioner Jennings, our link HUD fishery has had a variety of season links as we've progressed through time. I believe at one point there was a complete closure for link HUD, and I believe it was the
mid-90s.
This is a link HUD's a species that's a popular species to fish for, highly catchable. The department's implemented this season to balance that harvest with the population, and we think at this time that that's the appropriate season given the popularity of that fishery and the catch rates.
But doesn't the slot limit protecting the females and the fact that we have a and the juveniles allow us to exploit more heavily that size class that we're targeting? I hear what you're saying, but it's not really adding up to me that 6 weeks versus 3 months.
Commissioner Jennings, the regulations we have is a package for link HUD, and those regulations in total provide the level of harvest that we're seeing right now. So each of those regulations provide some dampening of the fishery, and so it's in total that we see the response that we currently see with link HUD.
So if we had, hypothetically, if we had a longer season, over time we might see reduced harvest is a concern? Reduced availability in the future?
There could be a variety of responses depending on the angling community and their response to that regulation. What we would typically do is if we felt that a liberalization was appropriate, we'd implement that regulation and evaluate that. The expectation would be that a liberalization would be based on the amount of fish being harvested and our best estimate that there was additional fish available.
Based on CPUE?
Based on CPUE or whatever measures that we have at hand, if there's any independent fishery data that we have as well, say through our independent fishery sampling or remote operating vehicle sampling, etc.
Thank you.
Other questions? Commissioner Mencken?
Would you go back to slide number 4, please? Can you explain on the second slide there on the trend in sound-wide standardized count, the rationale for removing the Edmonds Underwater Park data from this slide?
Yes, Commissioner Mencken, thank you. The intent with this analysis was to try to estimate a sound-wide or look at a sound-wide estimate of cabazon occurrence. And so what staff did was to look at the data set, realize that Edmonds Underwater Park accounted for the vast majority of all of the surveys in the data set. And so rather than have that site swamp the analysis, the staff looked at sites sound-wide that had 6 years of data through that 2000 to 2010 time period and analyzed that data to try to standardize and get an estimate sound-wide. If we would have included Edmonds Underwater Park, anything that was occurring there relative to cabazon would have overshadowed the sound-wide estimate.
And if you were to draw a trend line through this, I think I know what your answer is going to be. What would that line look like?
I would eyeball and estimate it would be approximately flat.
So that tells you then that that the trend sound-wide is fairly stable. Is that right?
That's the conclusion that we would draw, yes.
And I have another question for you, and it goes to slide number 5. We've closed commercial bottom fishing. We've imposed a 120-foot depth restriction. We've reduced the minimum size 8 to 18 inches, and we've reduced the daily bag from 2 to 1 fish. Is that not adequate to protect these stocks of cabazon?
Commissioner Mankin, we have taken those actions, but it's been somewhat recent. Those actions have occurred as recent as 2010 with the commercial closure and the depth restriction for bottom fish, and then the last two, the 18-inch minimum size and one fish daily limit, were implemented this March. We would need some time to measure the response by the fish themselves. The question is how quickly and how conservative the commission would like to be relative to this species and the regulations that we implement.
Okay, I'll end it there. Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter.
I think the other thing, Craig, that we may not have on there, and correct me if I'm wrong, is we've closed the retention of rockfish in Puget Sound.
That is true, Commissioner Carpenter.
The other thing I want to add is that as someone who has been involved with fishing, particularly the recreational fishing and the recreational fishing community, the fishermen target lingcod. Cabazon are frequented, or you know, nobody I know leaves the dock to go out and fish for cabazon. They're incidental. Fishermen would much rather retain lingcod. I think their abundances are flat. I think they appear to be holding their own. And I think the restrictions that we have on the board, plus the rockfish fishery, which was significant over time, it isn't on there. Provides more than adequate protection for the stock. We do have to watch it into the future, but I think for now I'm comfortable with that.
Other questions? If not, thank you, Craig. We'll move on to the public input portion of this item. We have four people who've signed up to testify, and so that you're all cognizant of our rules, we allow 3 minutes for each citizen to come up and share their views. We'd like you to come forward to the front table, sit in front of a microphone, and when you hear the beeping noise, that means your time is up, and we'd like you to conclude. I'll call up two people at a time just to make it more efficient because we're running behind schedule a little bit. First two people, Tom Burlingame and Rory O'Connor. Come forward, please. Mr. Burlingame, welcome.
Hi, I'm Tom Burlingame. I'm the owner of XL Fishing Charters from Nea Bay, Washington. I also own the what was formerly the Kingfisher Inn in Nea Bay, Washington. Before I comment on cabazon, I'm so excited to hear the talk earlier about the descending devices. I use a sequelizer on my boat every day, and not only in the deep water, but the shallow water fisheries, and the value in that sequelizer is unbelievable, especially reducing species like China's and things like that that are really susceptible to barotrauma. So I'm so excited to hear that the commission is on board with that. As per the cabazon season, I do support option 2 and no change on the seasons. I feel that the changes you've made recently need to have a chance to work. I think I haven't seen any. I've done 40 trips, bottom fish trips, since the 16th of April this year. I'm on the water almost every day. I haven't seen. We catch cabazon like we always have. They're, as Commissioner Carpenter said, they're incidental. We keep very few of them because of our 12-fish limit. Naturally, everybody wants a lingcod, so we tend to release them. I don't think they need any further protection at this time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Andy Misogynek. Please come forward. Mr. O'Connor, welcome.
Thanks. I'm Rory O'Connor. I'm with Northwest Kayak Anglers. I came down from Bellingham last night because these 3 minutes are really important. So thanks for giving us the opportunity to speak about Cabazon. I didn't think I could shoehorn all my comments into the 3 minutes, so I did send a letter, and Erin said she distributed that. But I am against any changes in Cabazon. There are already several measures in place. One that wasn't mentioned is it is closed on Inside Waters for 5 months of the year, so that was not mentioned. And we do have two new measures in place this year. And as Commissioner Mencken implied, it's difficult to determine what the beneficial impact of any of those restrictions on its own is when you pile on two or three at once. So it seems very blunt, kind of heavy-handed, especially given the data shows that Cabazon appear to be stable in the Puget Sound and are generally not targeted. And if this does pass, that means that all bottom fishing on Inside Waters closes on June 15th, and the next saltwater season is July 1st. And that would mean that for 2 weeks, the 2 weeks that have the longest days in the summer, the days when people actually have time to get out on the water after work, saltwater would essentially be closed. I just don't know if our fishery is in that bad a shape that we need to close down the two best weeks of summer completely. And I do have some questions about how these measures are a response to public comment. I reviewed all the public comment that's on record, and they're quite obviously from divers, and divers and anglers are often at cross purposes, and divers certainly do have a say, and they are stakeholders in the resources. But they're a tiny minority of people that use the resources, and they're a tiny minority of people that comment. But their opinion seems to carry enormous weight with the agency and with the commission, much more than anglers. Like, the comments showed only 10% supported this change. And they're not privy to any more scientific data than we are. They have a claim that they're seeing fewer Cabazon, which is good to know. It's good information. But you also have to consider the angler experience, and anybody who bounces a jigger on rocks will tell you that we're catching Cabazon. I've been out more than 15 times this year, Lincoln fishing, and caught a cab almost every trip. And there's no change, and there doesn't seem to be any problem with Cabazon. So, in light of the fact there's already restrictions in place, I don't think we need any additional restrictions. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Jennings?
So, and I've seen this in the comments, that if we close Cabazon season, we're closing the bottom fish fishery after June 15th. And when I look at the regs, I see year-round season, daily limit is a total of 15 bottom fish in Area 6, regardless of species. And then we have a few species we have restrictions on. But under bottom fish, we have Pacific tomcod, Pacific hake, walleye, all species of dabs, sole, flounders, except halibut, ratfish, sablefish, greenling, buffalo sculpin, great sculpin, red Irish lord, brown Irish lord, Pacific staghorn sculpin, giant rhymouth, plain fin midshipman, all species of sharks, skate. I'm just wondering, when you tell me you can't go fishing in the month, the second 2 weeks of June, because we're closing the seasons, it seems like we have a lot of opportunity out there for you.
I don't know anybody who targets ratfish, dogfish, sculpin.
Well, Cabazon's
nobody. Nobody targets these fish.
Flounders.
English. Don't know. Don't even know anybody. I mean, maybe if you're not catching anything when you're fishing for lingcod, you might try to fish for flounder. But nobody was going to make a trip to the saltwater to fish for flounder. They just don't do it.
But when we look at the catch per unit effort, and it's at the, what was it, 0.02 fish per angler hour, that doesn't seem like we're catching many Cabazon either. I mean, you seem to be very good
again,
fishermen, but
people don't target Cabazon. The reason people catch Cabazon is because they're bycatch from lingcod fishing. So I don't see why there's any need for any restrictions at all when people aren't targeting them and their population is stable.
Thanks.
Ron Garner, would you come forward, please? And there are five people. I overlooked one testimony sheet. Okay, Mr. Misogynic.
Thank you for getting my name right. I appreciate that. It's kind of a difficult name. I guess last time I was here, we had to hold off the meeting for 30 minutes while we talked to the state attorney general's office. So it's kind of nice that we were able to do this without a delay. My biggest concern is that this has got Reef's fingerprints all over it. And when you look through the data that we're looking at, it's Reef. And when it says Reef, it says David Jennings. We, you know, earlier back in 2009, 2010, this is a situation where David Jennings tried to essentially create his own private dive park up in Nia Bay. And, it, you know, to the point where I had to say, hey, look, we've got an ethics issue where somebody is doing this. Again, we've got a situation where the scientific data does not support the closure. We've got multiple things that, we have done already to make sure that we've safeguarded the population. And this is just another opportunity for the diving community, and particularly David Jennings and his Reef organization and some other people, to sit there and take away fishing opportunity. I mean, every time I look around, I lose hunting opportunity, I lose fishing opportunity, and it's just a constant assault. And we're tired of it. I mean, it's obvious exactly who this is. Sorry, that's from my phone. It's obvious who this is coming from. If this was any other standard rule proposal, you know, it would be gone. But because we have one person on the commission who is force-feeding this thing through, we're having to deal with this. Okay? I mean, it's not Animal Farm, okay? We're all equal. Nobody is more equal than others. Please keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Norm Reinhart, would you come forward, please? Okay, Mr. Gardner.
Well, thank you again for giving us public opportunity to speak. You spoke of the PSA. We basically have a PSA voter voice that went out, and Craig Burley had mentioned almost 400 people had signed in for the status quo. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize to the spearfishers. If you read it, the first go-round of it, number five, was written with restricting divers. It has since been removed because it does exactly what this does, is divisive among fishing groups, and we do not want to do that. This is a very damaging piece of work right here. First off, the Cabazon, I've been fishing a lot of years, and we probably on the earlier years we've covered a lot of water, and where I see Cabazon, there's a lot of areas in the Puget Sound that still have them, but I don't tell people where they are, and they're normally very high current areas. You're not going to be in there diving, and in fact, they're really hard to fish because it's hard to stop your boat in those areas, and you're not going to see those fish. They're not going to be videotaped because a diver, if he goes by, he's going to go screaming by. And personally, I've watched an orca and her calf go in there feeding, and I'm not sure if they're eating that or not. And at one time, you know, you all know I catch, we do pretty well halibut fishing other than when we took an ex-commissioner out and couldn't seem to get him into him, but and his wife. But a very large halibut my wife caught, 163 pounds, had four cabazon in its belly. So maybe we should, you know, go after the halibut for taking them. So just real quickly, there's so many restrictions on this right now. It's just gotten ridiculous. It just seems like what Andy just said was we're under constant attack all the time. And it makes it divisive, and I want to apologize. I was contacted by the spearfish dive community about this, and they said, look, this is really a problem, you know, dividing us up. And we've been contacted by the dive shops also about dive shops being afraid to say anything about being able to take any of our resources because they're afraid of getting boycotted, just like what happened in the octopus thing. I've been contacted by these dive shops, and they're very concerned about where all this is going because the anti-take people have so much pressure on these people that they're afraid to say anything, and they don't like where it's going. So I would say that the Puget Sound anglers, all our chapters, are saying status quo, and the recreational and the spearfish community, too. That's all I need. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Reinhart.
Thank you, Commissioners, for allowing me to testify yet once again. First, I'd like to make a comment that I have absolutely no problem with the spearfishing community. I go places in this world where I fish out of one end of the boat and the divers are diving out of the other end of the boat on the same reef, and we're both quite successful. With that being said, I'm looking at a study that I believe is stated that's qualitative in nature, not quantitative in nature, and the information is mostly from the reef community. I would like to bring one point into focus, and that's Area 4, and that's why I'm sitting here. There's no reason to change anything. The status quo is just fine, with one caveat. Based on this qualitative study, I see some wonderful stars out there in Area 4. My question is if we're allowed to harvest lingcod at a rate of 2 per day, and lingcod and cabazon, in my opinion, have approximately the same lifespan, they inhabit approximately the same habitat, that is rocky, fast-moving water, why can't we have 2 cabazon? In this qualitative study, that shows an increase in population. I would ask the Commission to consider not only maintaining the status quo, but reconsider the limit on cabazon, and specifically in Area 4, west of the Tatoosh line, to go from 1 to 2. Put it on an equal par with lingcod, which is already at 2. And the last thing I would like to say is that in the recreational community that isn't necessarily plugged into this process, there is some confusion. When we hear fishing Puget Sound, we automatically think Area 5 through Area 13. When it comes to the ground fishery, more and more there's confusion when we hear Puget Sound. Area 4 is being attached to that. I would ask the Commission to reconsider the fact that when we're going public, please do not include Area 4 as part of Puget Sound. Maintain that division so that the public that goes out and participates in recreational fishing isn't even more confused, because there is a great deal of that which you already know. I would like to thank you for this opportunity. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. That concludes the public input portion of the agenda item. Okay, Commission, we're ready to have a discussion. I think we should start off with a motion. Commissioner Mencken?
I move to retain the current cabazon recreational fishing season of year-round in Marine Area 4 and May 1 through November 30 in Marine Areas 5 to 11 and 13.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second's been made by Commissioner Smith to retain the current cabazon recreational fishing season of year-round in Marine Area 4 and May 1st through November 30th in Marine Areas 5 through 11 and 13. Okay, discussion. Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Among commissioners, I am the one who's talked most about my concerns around cabazon. My first concerns were raised by diving in Puget Sound and noticing that I wasn't seeing many relative to what I thought I should. I then went to look at the literature, went to the Pacific Fisheries Management Council, and found that they had done stock assessments for 2 cabazon populations in Northern and Southern California. And what they found in Northern California was that the estimate was that the current population of cabazon was at about 46% of unfished, so fairly heavily impacted, and there was some concern. The Southern California population was at 26%, so just above what the feds would classify as overfished. Those are open water fisheries, and when I looked at Puget Sound, I said, you know, there's a whole lot of fishing pressure within Puget Sound. So then I asked the department to show us the data they had on cabazon. And what they showed us back in 2009 was 5 years of data from 2003 to 2008, both catch and catch per unit effort. That data showed a 65% decline in that time period. Again, short piece of time. Again, that raised my concerns and said, you know, there is something here, or there seems to be. So that's the basis for my concerns. It's not, so let me just pause there. My long-term objective for Cabazon is not to reduce fishing opportunity. My objective for Cabazon management is to increase fishing opportunity. What I think we have is a stable but depressed population based on past fishing practices. What I'm hoping to do, and where I see us going, is increasing the absolute number of cabazon so that we can have more fishing on them. That, I'm not trying to close cabazon fishing. I'm trying to increase opportunity over the long term. And I think one of the challenges is the time frames that we're talking about. When I look at the comments coming back on the public side, I see reactions for the next 1 or 2 or 3 years concerns. What I'm saying is this commission back in the 90s looked at the population of lingcod and said we have a real problem, and we closed that fishery for 3 years to rebuild it. And when we opened it up, we put limits in place on the number of fish and the size to protect the breeding stock and the recruitment. We haven't done that with cabazon. We've had a very long season with no minimum size and 2 fish per person per day. Even from the comments we get, fishermen who want us to keep the season open aren't seeing them. I'm looking at Justin Davis, who wrote, I run a charter and we only caught 2 cabazon the whole year out of Friday Harbor. I guess if people aren't seeing the fish, why are we so concerned about trying to have the stocks rebuild? When I suggested, when we talked about what we could do with the cabazon season if we were going to change it, at one level, it made sense to align it with the lingcod season. My objective, what I think the right answer is over the long term, is to have a much shorter season for cabazon. Going back to the same kind of rationale that we only have a 6-week season for lingcod. If a season length is irrelevant, why don't we have a longer season for lingcod? It does impact the population, the length of the season. What I can see us doing, and again, probably not today based on the feedback I'm getting, body language I'm seeing from the other commissioners, but I can see looking next year or the year after to have a shortened season, but not to have it in alignment with the lingcod season. Again, my objective is to get more people fishing, to get more people on the water over the long term while we maintain and rebuild our depressed stocks. So I understand some people look at my motives and think they're differently motivated, but I'm very much saying that I'm doing this to increase future fishing opportunity. When I look at the, I'm sorry, this has been a big topic for me, and I can't believe you guys put a motion on the table before we had even started the conversation, because that really is, it really changes the tone of the conversation. So I'm disappointed, so please let me continue. When I look at the number of saltwater angler trips, we have a whole lot of Puget Sound. We know that sport angling can impact populations. We saw that happen on lingcod. I'm happy to look at the season changes so we can keep the summer fishing opportunity, but I do think there's a biological basis for shortening the season. One of my real concerns, and I think with people like Commissioner Carpenter, it helps us not have this because you do have a long-term fishing history in here. But a real concern of conservation biologists is a concept called shifting baseline. And that concept is we think what is normal is what we've been exposed to. And when and what we get exposed to and we look back, you know, those memories kind of blur. And so when we look back in our best memories of the past 20 years, that's not reflective of what the Cabazon population was like before the Bolt decision. We have an opportunity to rebuild those stocks bigger so that more people can catch Cabazon, not 0.02 Cabazon per hour. I do want to recognize that we've made a real positive change with the 18-inch limit. I think that is a very significant biological change that we have made. I think the changing from one fish to two, from two to one, was functionally irrelevant because, as far as I can tell, I don't think anybody's, with the exception of one or two really talented fishermen, people don't catch two cabazon in a day. So to not allow them to didn't really change the reality on the ground. But the 18-inch limit did make a big difference. What I think we should do, because I am concerned about the size and the health and the age class and the size class distribution of our Puget Sound cabazon, is look and see next at the end of next season how many cabazon are taken. Because my concern is that the cabazon numbers, when we see that CPUE not changing, is they're not reflective of mature breeding age fish. And so if we put an 18-inch limit in place and our numbers of retained cabazon is very low, again, I would use that as a basis to come back and say, we really do have a depressed breeding population in at least parts of Puget Sound, and a reduced season will help us rebuild our stocks faster. Thank you.
Thank you. We made a mistake, evidently, in overlooking a person who signed up to testify. We apologize for that, and we'll remedy that right now. So, Craig, if you would, step back. And John Pierce, would you please come forward? I'm not sure what happened, but your paperwork was mislaid momentarily. Sorry about that. So you have your 3 minutes now.
Thank you. Well, I'll endeavor not to take 3 minutes, but I am opposed to this change, and the reason being is that it's really anecdotal from my own experiences. I don't represent any particular group, and I'm not a talented fisherman, but I can tell you that I caught more cabazon the times I've been out than Rory has. And they're not little cabazon either. They're well over 18 inches. I believe in conservation, but I think that there needs to be an opportunity to allow the changes that you've made, which I don't necessarily agree with, but respect, to see if they have results before you make the decision to further constrain the opportunity. And forgive me for being a little bit suspect of your comments, Commissioner Jennings, when you say that you want to increase fishing opportunity, because from the angler side, or let me just speak for myself, from my side, I have a difficult time believing that when I listen to the commission meetings and hear your comments and know that the WCF refers to you as a big proponent of watchable wildlife as opposed to catchable wildlife. So that perhaps that's not who you are, but that is definitely the image that, as an individual angler, that I have of you, is that you are not a proponent of saying, hey, I want you guys to catch more fish, and I want there to be more fish for you to catch, because that is not the image that is portrayed of you by people who are presumably on your team. So, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, and we really don't want to get into personal attacks. And
I do want to respond. I'm sorry. I don't think there's a... I think both watchful wildlife and consumptive wildlife use are compatible. I'm trying to promote both. Part of my responsibility is to help maximize fishing and wildlife opportunities. I think the difference in our, that I guess I'm looking at it as a slightly larger time frame. I'm looking at a 3 to 5 year window for making changes as opposed to each season expecting something to happen.
Okay. We had begun our conversation, our discussion of the merits of the motion. We can carry that on, continue that. Any other commissioners want to weigh in? Members of the Fish Committee? Okay. Commissioner Carpenter?
Well, we've spent a lot of time on this issue over the past few months and absorbed a lot of data from the staff, which is appreciated. And for all the stocks that we're responsible to manage, I think things have to be looked at on a regular basis. But I feel the changes that we've made in the Cabazon regulation match up with the appropriate management tools, and I'm going to vote for the motion.
Okay. Anything else? Commissioner Kinney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just looking at what was presented by both the good public testimony and the BDFW staff reports and the data, you know, it does come to my mind that we probably need to give some time for the current restrictions put in place to see, you know, their effect. And by piling things on, as been suggested, does make it cloudy as to what worked, you know, what didn't work. And with a low population but a stable population, I think there's room to do that.
Thank you. Okay. Any other last-minute comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to retain the current Cabazon recreational fishing season of year-round in Marine Area 4 and May 1st through November 30th in Marine Areas 5 through 11 and 13, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion carries. Thank you.